You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we have now got Jennifer Skews in to talk to us about how we program our emotions and what tips us over the edge emotionally. How are you going, Jennifer?
Going very well, thank you.
That's good. Now, what do you want to share with us today?
Okay, well, I have talked a bit about emotions over the few times I've been back on. And it's such an important part of the brain because God has given us an emotional brain. And that brain, it's called the limbic system, but it's the largest part of the brain, is that emotional brain, and it's right in the centre of our brain. So it's very important. And really, emotions are the things that make our life of value, and we can enjoy life, but also emotions can bring us unstuck. Where I thought we can get on that emotional roller coaster. And this is about, well, what are emotions about and how can I get off that roller coaster? You know, what puts me on there, right? Because when we're born, we're given a range of emotions. They're already programmed in. And the interesting part is apparently the last month of when we're in the womb, before we're born, we actually program the mother's emotions. So if mum is a happy person, we can program that. And unfortunately, if she's an anxious person or depressed, we program that. So it's a bit scary sometimes when you think of those things. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
That's really interesting. Like, I'd never heard of that before, that final month. Are you saying that you program to be the same as your mother's emotions, essentially? Like, that's what you're more likely to be inclined to do throughout life? If she's anxious in that final month before birth, that you're more likely to be anxious just in general in life? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that will be programmed in. But it depends on, because we've got other genetic factors, it depends on the environment we're born into, you know, and what happens after birth. But it's likely that will be a strong element. In my life, my mother was a very anxious person, and that's something I've struggled with, yet my personality isn't really anxiety-focused. So, yes, we are affected by it, but the good news is when the brain is programmed, you can change the program and you can add in anything. You can build a new program in the brain and not use the old one. So that's good news. Yes, it is, isn't it? Just as well. I mean, God has given us an amazing brain, and he's also given it the capacity to rewire and reshape. And that includes our emotional brain. Now, emotions are wired in the five senses. So that means when I have an emotional experience, it's attached to my five senses. It's programmed in with sound, sight, touch, taste, and smell. So that means any of those senses can trigger the feelings. And I guess when you look at it, like I think of when I've been on a holiday and I'm looking at photos and I feel so good. It brings back that emotion that I experienced on that particular holiday. So on that level, it can be good. But if we've had bad emotional experiences, they can also be triggered. And that's what tips us over that edge emotionally. And I don't know if you've had the experience where maybe you'll meet someone or something will happen and you have this massive emotional reaction, an overreaction. And you go, what happened there? You know, why did I react so badly to that emotionally? I think anger is probably one that people experience that with. Something happens and road rage is a prime example when you're driving. It's an overreaction, but we can change that. To change anything, one, you have to be aware of it, and you have to know what you want to change, and you have to have insight into how you can change it. So, and that's something we're not born with necessarily, and it's not something that we're usually taught. You know, our parents don't always have those capacities, so school does not teach us how to work with emotions. So it's something we have to learn along the way. It's we're emotional school, I guess you could call it. Yeah. We're always learning.
That's very interesting.
Yes, but with things like, I guess anger is a good example of an emotion, a strong emotion. Because if we didn't have anger, we're born with that capacity. Anger and fear are two emotions that protect us.
Yes.
Right? So if I didn't have fear, I would do things that might threaten my life. Right? So they do have a very good purpose, but we've put them in the wrong context. So we might be angry with someone because of what they said, and that wasn't deliberate on their part, but because of our experience, it triggers that emotional reaction. So that's when we get what I call emotional reasoning. So if I'm feeling angry, I interpret things with that feeling. Right? If I'm feeling happy, that's how I will interpret. Like if I get up in the morning and I'm having a good day and all is well, then what that emotion does, if something happens, I deal with it very effectively, right? Because my emotions are in that space. So emotions are driven by our thoughts. Our thoughts are driven by our beliefs. So if I believe something, I think it, and that's when the feeling is expressed. The emotion's programmed in, but we express it in our feelings. So it's not easy sometimes to deal with the way we feel, but there's always a way we can deal with it. I get people to write down what they're thinking. So if I get you to feel sad, what do you have to do? You have to think sad. Yeah? If you're happy and you want to feel sad, you've got to think of a sad event. So this is where we can control emotions through the way we think. Right? Does that make sense?
Can you explain that in maybe like more of an example?
Okay. So one of them was, as I said, if I want to feel sad, I've got to think of something sad. But it's emotions, or the feelings that express the emotion that I have, it works through your conscience and your reasoning, right? So if I'm feeling sad, my reasoning is thinking that way, but we also have a conscience, and the Holy Spirit will work through our conscience. That's our lifeline to God. So this is where we can work with God to be able to deal with that emotion.
So
if I'm connected, it makes a big difference than if I'm just trying to deal with it on my own.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this correctly. Like, if I am feeling some type of anxiety or in a state of sadness or whatever, yeah, and I don't want to stay in that state, I can actually change, yeah, into a better state that's going to help me get through life, yeah, be more resilient by deliberately, yes, choosing to think of something that makes me feel safe or makes me feel happy or makes, yeah, me feel secure. And so I can choose particular thoughts, yes, that are going to make, yeah, me feel those things. Is that what you're trying to tell,
yes,
us?
Yes, it will help us to deal with that feeling. Anxiety is a good example because things happen, like someone who is highly anxious when they have to go to shops and, you know, go to places where they have to, you know, mix with people and have a busy time, they get very anxious. So, for example, if that person gets up in the morning and goes to the fridge to get the milk out to make themselves a drink and there's not much milk, they immediately feel anxious, but they're not consciously aware of it. But if they sort of say, well, hang on, why am I feeling anxious? I only opened the fridge, and they go, oh, the milk, I've got to go to the shops.
Oh.
Right? So the conscious mind can put it together, and that's where I find working prayerfully helps us to have that change, that thought. Right? Anxiety is also a feeling that is in the body. And if we can observe the feeling versus be the feeling. So if I can say, well, my body is anxious and the way I'm thinking is anxious, I do think I still do it sometimes, write down what I'm thinking, because that helps me to go, oh, no wonder I'm feeling that way because of that's how I'm thinking. How can I modify that thought, right? And that's why things like, oh, okay, I've got to go to the shop, and I feel anxious about that. So it might be, well, when's a good time to go to the shop? you know, when it's a bit quiet and there's not so many people. So you might do some problem solving or look at a solution to deal with. Or if I do my breathing, it helps to reduce my anxiety. So you're actually observing it and what I call like a toolkit that helps you to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, so that just reminds me of a Bible verse that says, take every thought captive, right?
Yes.
And I think that's a really handy thing to do when you're feeling unsettled, is to be able to catch yourself in that feeling and go, okay, what's going on here and how can I adjust it?
Yes, we observe the feeling. And the Bible also tells us not to be anxious about tomorrow, because the anxiety is a projected feeling. And if we think of the what if, we can go into fear. And that's like that example of having to go to the shops because you're running out of milk. And what that means is that I'm thinking ahead. Oh, no, it'll be busy. I won't cope. I'll get panicky or whatever. We're already projecting the fear and that builds it. But if we can come back to the present, now that's what I do. I teach people to do your breathing, calm it down, look at what's the best way.